Welcome to worship. It's wonderful to be together, even on a rainy morning, as we gather inside Davis Park Lodge. We also welcome all of those who are worshiping with us online. We're glad you're with us. Those who will be assisting me in leading worship today are Allie Hall, Debbie Milliken, and we welcome our talented, joyful jazz under the direction of Chris Taylor. So we're glad to have them with us as well. Several things are beginning this week and want to make you aware of them so you may join as you find that you are able to do so. You are encouraged to consider all of these. Prayer and pastry will begin Wednesday. And this, on the 26th, this is a Max Lucado study, and we will be sharing a dessert together, so invite you to come. It begins at 6 p.m. Also, and child care is available, so all of those, even with children, can join us for the Bible study. We have a concert on Tuesday. If it rains, we will be downtown in the sanctuary, but the concert is the 38th Infantry Division Band, and their concert will begin at 7 p.m. on Tuesday here if the weather permits, and downtown in the sanctuary if it's a rainy, soggy day. We hope all of you will come to that and bring your lawn chair if it's outside, and bring your neighbors regardless. We also will be beginning Grief Share. This will begin on Monday from 10:30 to noon in the North-South Parlor. And this is an opportunity for healing. It does not matter. Grief has no boundaries. So it may be weeks, months, years since a significant loss of a loved one, and invite you to join Ron and Carol Watson. They are the facilitators of this study. Also, our family ministry summer of service, they have opted to collect school supplies that will be distributed by Operation Love. You're invited to give to that this month. There is a collection bin in the back, and it will remain there. So on future Sundays, you can bring your school supplies with you. There is a list in your bulletin so you know what is needed and the types. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ.
You know Jesus.
Yep.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Good.
and friends, now, you notice that we don't have a bag. Hey, want to come on up?
Hi!
Well, I have something to share with you guys today, but I don't have my bag up here. Can you guess what I'm going to use for our children's moment today? I'll give you a hint. I'm wearing it. I'm wearing it on my face.
Glasses.
Glasses, very good. Now, why do people wear glasses? To help them see, right? To put things in focus. Now, I can't see things far away. Like, if that sign wasn't bright red, chances are I couldn't read it. Far away, I cannot see it. But things up close, I can see perfectly fine. So as I get older, my books just get closer, closer, closer to my face. But I wanted to use our glasses today to talk about how sometimes some of the things we see around us, we don't see very clearly. Because the first week, we learned that we can share Jesus with our family. And last week, we learned that we could share Jesus with our what? Do you remember?
Friends.
Friends. Very good, yes. And this week, we were going to talk about ways to share Jesus with our neighbors. And sometimes we're so busy that we don't really look around and we don't see who our neighbors are. Now, I don't just mean the people who live next to you. I mean the people you kind of interact with all the time, right? So what you're going to do this week, I want you to try and share Jesus with one of your neighbors. That could be dropping a note of encouragement. It could be making cookies for someone you live close to. It could be a Facebook message for an old teacher. It could be a lot of different things. But I want you guys to think through ways that you can share Jesus with a neighbor this week. All right, we're going to head over there. We're going to take a worship kit.
We all come to worship with different needs and leave with different answers. Spending this time as community, sharing our sacred story, singing holy songs and translating this time into our lives is a core spiritual practice for many of us. Sharing financial gifts is also a spiritual practice. You're invited to support the work of this church, the work that God calls us to do, by giving freely what you can.
Thank you.
we offer our gifts, please use them along with those already given online or by mail to create a space where you are present. Please help us to be your people, to be a blessing to others, and to lead others to you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Of difficulty and struggle, For the times when we have been less than our best, we give you thanks that you do not turn away from us and that we are never alone. The Bible tells us that when we confess our sins, you are gracious and just to forgive us and help us start anew. And so we pause in silence to personally confess our sins to you now. Lord, we lift up to you your church. We want Anderson First United Methodist to be a strong and vital church in our community. We want to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of others. We need for hope, acceptance, love, and compassion is great, and you are the answer to these needs. Help us to show others the way to you through our programs, through our ministries, and most of all, through our lives and example. Lord, for those who are sick, suffering, lonely, misguided, or just in the need of your presence, we ask that you would teach them with your healing, with your guidance, and with your faith. Hear us now, our hearts lift the names of those for whom we ask your blessing. Lord, for the confidence and joy and hope we have because we walk daily with you, we give you thanks and praise in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture today is from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 to 22. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only, blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had come corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all the living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out, along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood, waterproof it, using tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout the interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside. We have the lower, the middle, and the upper. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy everything living that breathes. Everything on earth will die, but I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife, and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. This is God's word for God's people today.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Simon, who tells the group what to do and precedes everything with Simon says, and that's how you know what to do. And if Simon doesn't say it, you just don't do it. So we are going to give it a try, right? Simon says, lift your left hand. Simon says, lift your right hand. Simon says, put your hands down, put your hands up. Got a few of you. Yeah. That's how the game goes. It's a matter of obeying what Simon says. This is actually another very ancient game. Comes out of ancient Rome, and it started being Cicero says do that. And Cicero happened to be in Rome at that time the game was developed. Cicero happened to be a very ruthless, powerful person. And if Cicero said it, you did it. And so that's how the game began to be developed. But when I Googled, it's a game of obedience. And when I Googled obedience as kind of the key word, there was the very first thing that pops up is dog obedience training, right? Which I didn't think would pertain to us today. But the other I thought was very interesting because this, it was referring to an experiment. It actually took place back in the 1950s, but there were several articles about Stanley Milgram. And Stanley had performed an instrument in an experiment that needed an experimenter, teachers, and also learners. And the experimenter was the one that had authority. And the experimenter would tell the teachers what to do to the learners. And so as the teachers were offering the learners different information, if they would get it wrong, they received an electrical shock that the teachers would give the learners. And the experimenter would tell them when to increase the voltage. Now, they didn't know this at the time, but the learners were paid actors. I think they earned their money in this experiment. But they were paid actors, and they would, when it began, they would just overreact and overreact to the little bit of shock that they received. Over two-thirds of the teachers continued to administer electrical shocks to the learners clear up to 450 volts, which is the maximum that a human can tolerate. That is blind obedience, right? Obedience to an authority. But we have another story of obedience that's, by contrast, something very different. By contrast, this lesson of obedience that we hear in Genesis 6 is a costly, messy, beautiful obedience. And it involves an ordinary man. And it involves an ordinary man that knows, experiences, loves God. And God chooses to love Noah. There are a lot of flood stories out there. Historically, they come down through the generations, a lot of different. But the biblical story is different than the other flood stories, the other accounts that we hear. The other accounts have a human hero that saves the day. The biblical story begins with God. God acted first. You see, this biblical story of Noah is a story of God's grace. Noah found grace because God, in God's grace, found Noah. God acted first. And this is a prelude, a kind of a foretaste of what we get in the New Testament. This is one of the very first times that we have this God's grace finding the people. That God's love reaching out in this way through the story of Noah. You see, in the New Testament, we hear about God's grace through the fact that God desires us, that God seeks us, that God wants to know us, that God saves us, that God reconciles with us, that God forgives us, that God frees us from our sin and our ultimate death. And all as a gift of God's grace. Not by anything that we do or deserve, but as a gift of God's grace. God acts first. We simply act second by receiving it. Noah received God's grace once God found him. So we have this beautiful story, this ordinary man, Noah, who found by God's grace and received God's grace, demonstrates for us this costly, messy, beautiful obedience to God. Now, obedience itself, as we saw in the Stanley's experiment, can be pretty ugly. And even today, while that experiment would not be allowed today, but even today, we can hear things about, well, God says, God told me to do this. I'm just obeying God. But folks, I ask you to just question any time that it's destructive, hateful, exclusive, those need to raise red flags. Because God offers God's gift of grace to all. Wants all of us to know God, to love God, to experience God. And when we do so, the result in our loving God in return is a life of obedience. Well, some have said to me over the years, not recently, so you're all off the hook. But over the years, I've had it said, you know, it doesn't make sense to me, because if, as in the New Testament says, and as we see here in Noah's case, if God is truly offering God's grace, not by anything that we do or deserve, why does it matter if I'm good or not? I'll just live my life and do whatever I want to do and just go to God and say, God, forgive me. It's time. I just need to check in and I need your forgiveness because I know I've not done things right. Doesn't that work? If it's nothing based on what we do, the answer is checking in on what a life looks like that truly loves God. When we truly love another person, we want to do right by them. We want to make them happy. We want to do those things that fulfill their life, because that is the act of a life of love. When we want to reciprocate love, we show it. The same with God. If we truly love God, our lives will demonstrate our love for God. And we do that by obeying God. Now, this obedience is difficult. It's a struggle. it's a messy, it's a costly, messy, and beautiful thing, the obedience. And it's costly. We see that in Noah. And maybe more so, Jesus says, you know, the greatest act of love is to lay one's life down for another. We don't do that very often, right? We don't get that sacrificial. But here we have Noah, who his obedience, his love for God, allowed him to move into giving up everything. I mean, this building, this ark, was not just a hobby. It became his life. Everything that he lived for was to be obedient to what God had called him to do. And so we have this thing that he's building, this ark, 3 stories high, 2.5 football fields long. It took the rest of his life nearly to get that completed. Now, we have an interesting scenario with Noah, and I want to draw your attention to this. If you read the full story beyond the beginning and the ending, what we heard today, I want you to notice that while I think Noah's motto would be just do it God's way, he never speaks. We never have any record of Noah saying anything. We have 4 kind of brief speeches from God giving instruction and telling how and what to do, but we hear nothing from Noah. And it's not that Noah is a robot. That's not what God is calling us to. Noah, I'm sure, complained, argued, questioned, maybe even doubted. Did I really hear that from God? This is crazy what I'm doing. So there was a lot going on. Noah was a human being just like us. But the point of this story is that while that may be a part of our story, our responses, our questioning, our doubting, the times he hit his thumb with a hammer, and all kinds of expletives shout out, those times don't matter. What matters is the end result. Our obedience in completing what God has called us to do. And there are things that get in our way. You see, not only being costly, it costs Noah his time, basically his life invested in this, it's also very messy. We hear in our scripture that Noah walked with God. Well, that sounds straight, narrow, but he didn't walk with God inside the ark. He walked with God in a world that was chaos. It was broken completely. And he continued to walk with God. Even Christ sends his disciples, send you and I out into the darkness to bring light. We're supposed to be different than the world. We're supposed to be the light bearers. The rest of the world's the dark place. And our difference is bringing the light of Jesus Christ. Noah's difference was obeying and building the ark. And then beauty. This one might sound like a stretch, the story of Noah. I mean, there's some really ugly parts to this. But since we heard that Noah was a righteous man, I'm sure his heart would not just let him ignore his neighbors that he had known his entire life. He probably begged people to listen. to him, to help him on the ark, build the ark, to come with him when the time came. And they did not. That's a pretty ugly, pretty sad part of the story. But through this, we have God's grace, God's gift of grace to Noah and the family that he pulled together to join him in the ark. God's grace to something new, a brand new life. And folks, out of the obedience to God, we can too receive God's blessing. And that is a beautiful gift. So we have this act of an ordinary man demonstrating an extraordinary obedience to God. And we have roadblocks for us. I mean, we think, you know, I need a whole lot more information, God. You're going to expect me to do something as wild as what Noah was called to do. I mean, even just what Ali challenged the children to do, to tell a neighbor about Jesus. I mean, come on, God, I'm going to need a whole lot more. What if they ask a question I can't answer? Our word of God comes from Scripture, God's word. And when we look at God's word, it's not just a open your Bible and point to a scripture kind of study. It is, in fact, a deep dive. It's hard work. It's hard work to look into scripture and study what kind of context was going on so we can understand the words. And I had a professor tell me in seminary that the scripture is written in order from Genesis to Revelation, and we need to read it in order. Read it through before we can really understand, because what was written after the previous books in the Bible refer to and need that background and so forth. And so we also need to know the culture that the people were living in to understand what they were talking about and why they were using those kind of illustrations. It is hard work. And so understanding the context, the history, the culture, understanding the Bible. But there comes a point where we understand enough. That we understand enough that we can obey God. We can take that step of faith. It's never just a step into total darkness. If we're following Christ, if we're following God, it's a step into the light. And so we take that step. And we are very fortunate in that we have the cross to look at. We have the cross that demonstrates how much God loved, the act that God took before we even knew we needed it. While we were yet sinners, he gave himself for us. An act of love. And if we love in return, we will obey. And it's costly and it's messy, but we'll receive the blessing, the beauty of the obedience we have in God. So I want to leave you with a challenge. What is it in your life that you have refused to obey God? And I'll leave you with that question. Let us sing together. life by living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Praise God. Words as